Do you know the five things you definitely should not hear in an Easter sermon? Better still, would you recognize the five things you absolutely should? Here's a hint: expect to hear Jesus. Read the April edition of the Lutheran Witness to learn more. Not a subscriber? Go to cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We live in an age of disproportionate overreaction. That might be redundant. Overreaction. And it's coming from quarters that, well, sometimes are known for their overreaction and sometimes aren't. It was just a comment made actually in a profile piece in the Washington Post of Second Lady Karen Pence, that Mike Pence's wife. And it was simply noted in there that in 2002, so this is also pretty old story as well, Mike Pence told The Hill that he never eats alone with a woman other than his wife and that he won't attend events featuring alcohol without her by his side either. Seems pretty innocuous. It's kind of the rule that a lot of sensible husbands live by. I know that if my wife found out I had gone out to eat even an innocent meal with another woman, she would not like it. It seems like Mike Pence is being rather sensible there. But the reaction has been, well, like I said, all out of proportion. Some even suggesting that it's illegal for him to have that attitude. We're going to talk about the outrage over comments made by Vice President Mike Pence about being alone with women other than his wife. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us on this Monday afternoon. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled The Left Hates Mike Pence for Loving His Wife Because They Don't Really Think Men Can Be Evil. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
What about this particular comment, obviously made in just with no attempt to stir controversy? What about this particular comment by the vice president so long ago has just lately made everyone so mad?
Well, there are probably two answers to that. The first is that the vice president said it, you know, and it's just, you kind of get to this point, I suppose, in politics where, really anywhere in life, but where the well has been poisoned and where folks have, if they've already made up their mind that they don't like you, then they determine what they like and don't like based on what you said. So if you say that you have a practice of not dining alone with a woman who's not your wife, then all of a sudden a relatively sensible thing becomes something that's just a terrible, horrible, you know, repressive idea just by virtue of the fact that Mike Pence said it. But I do think there's kind of something deeper in all of this. There's something kind of going on below the surface, which is that if you have kind of the secular humanist sort of liberal worldview, one that says that man is inherently good, that people are kind of by nature oriented towards being good neighbors and good people, and then the idea that you would adopt a practice like this is kind of anathema to that worldview, to that understanding of human natures. And it's not just this practice, but it's ultimately the idea that you would have certain practices to discipline yourself and to box yourself off from certain sinful behaviors. The fact that you kind of draw a line several steps before it would, you know, before you would actually be doing something terrible, so that you never quite get to that point, is an indication that you actually have, you know, sort of a sinful nature that needs to be restrained. And that is, I think, something that is wholly unacceptable to people who operate by the view that they are inherently good people and that they are perfectly capable of controlling their actions in any set of circumstances.
How would you describe the reaction for those who haven't followed it on Twitter or other social media or even in the press? We're talking about kind of mainstream outlets, not just the fake news. How would you describe the reaction?
It's been a bit odd. Obviously, you've had people saying things like that this is a that this is a manifestation of rape culture, which is something that one lady, Ashley Sinati, I think, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, something of that nature, wrote, where she basically said, well, to adopt this practice is to say that you're viewing any woman in the world as a sexual object, as an inherently sexual being. And so, therefore, that's a manifestation of rape culture, that this idea that men can only perceive women sexually. So you had kind of responses like that. Yeah, you had a piece, I think, that ran in Vox that basically said that this could very well be a violation of Title VII and against the law. And so yeah, there are kind of a host of, you know, varying from kind of far-left publications to probably more kind of center-left publications looking at this, and people just sort of saying, well, this is such a kind of an extreme and puritanical approach to things. And, you know, you'd have people sort of saying things that kind of along the lines of, oh, this is not any different than, you know, how Muslim women are treated, you know, in the Muslim world, this kind of radical desexualization of them that you'll find, you know, in the form of, you know, burqas and things of that nature. That are, so the idea is that that men blame women for their inability to control their hormones, and so they oppress them either in the form of, you know, making them wear burqas, or in the form of not going out on dates with them when the guy's married to another woman, apparently. Apparently that's the same thing.
So you say that the explanation, this insight into left and right, generally speaking, that the left kind of sees man as virtuous, the right sees man, and again, generally speaking, as fallen, and as maybe having the ability to attain virtue, but not naturally inclined in that direction. That also explains why the boundaries in relationships are so different for the two sides. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that this is kind of purely a political left and right type of issue. I think this is much more a spiritual and religious issue. I just think it kind of looks oftentimes like it falls down cleanly on political lines, you know, in large part because that's those two groups tend to kind of filter off in those same ways together. So, you know, by and large, most people who have a kind of a historic Christian worldview of man's nature are going to be a little bit more inclined to be conservative in certain ways, not necessarily in all ways. It doesn't necessarily. I mean, you can look at Mike Pence's policy and certainly favor, you know, gun control or higher tax rates on the rich and things of that nature. So I don't know that those things kind of break down in lines of that nature. That being said, yeah, it's I think what you have here is that you just have one group that says, yeah, we recognize that, you know, we're living in a world not only where we're dealing with our own sinfulness, and where so I think a lot of the way that people have spoken about Mike Pence in this has been incredibly uncharitable. So this idea that he's somehow come some kind of, you know, seething, perverted man who's just, you know, frothing at the mouth to commit adultery with any woman he meets. And I don't think that's remotely the point of a practice like this. I think it's just a matter of saying, well, look, you know, I'd imagine the vast majority of affairs in this world, it's a bit like drugs. You know, no one starts off doing crack. You generally, you know, there's kind of a row of drugs that you try that eventually lead to that. You know, so people who try marijuana eventually try this, eventually try that, and then you get to the point where you're at. And I think this is kind of that same thing, where men who have affairs tend to have, prior to that, been men who were okay meeting with women, you know, in kind of private settings. And so the point is that you just kind of put yourself in a position where if you don't get to step one, it's very easy to stop yourself from getting to step three, if that's really where the sin is. So I think there are people who believe, yeah, man has some kind of, you know, whether they're Christians who would say man has original sin or a sinful nature, or whether they're people who have just kind of inherited that Christian worldview and who would say, yeah, there's something kind of dark in man that's inclined towards these things, so it's good to kind of put up some barriers. But for folks who believe that man is inherently good and who believe that in the instance that, you know, things like infidelity and stuff like that, that's not man acting according to his nature, that's somehow man acting contrary to it, that in a situation like that, they'd say, well, I'm a good person. I don't need to kind of put these barriers are for weak-willed people, but I'm a strong-willed person, which is a very famous last words for people before their wills end up proving to not be so strong.
It's also, in a lot of ways, I think, irritating to, again, to the left, because I think probably what Pence was attempting to do there was say, look, it's not only about avoiding a temptation. It's about avoiding appearances of impropriety. I'm a public person. He was in 2002. And if I have any ambition toward any kind of higher office or something, I don't want people to say, hey, I saw you stepping out with so-and-so back in 2002. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and that's at the end of the piece, I kind of talk about this a bit, and why I just find this whole thing to be a little ironic is that you've got these groups that, you know, again, are it's more of, I think, a religious thing, but secularist folks who probably tend to be fairly leftist in their approach to things, you know, who have hated Mike Pence since certainly before he became the vice president. And you're sitting here going, well, you know, look, if you can't stand the guy, it would probably behoove you to remember that, you know, if President Clinton had adopted these policies, there's probably a good chance that Hillary Clinton would have ended up winning the election. I certainly think that there are a lot of folks in this country who have seen her, who see her as opportunistic and a woman who kind of turned a blind eye at best to a lot of her husband's indiscretion and indiscretions, and at worst, was kind of complicit in, you know, tarnishing the reputations of women who made, you know, fairly credible accusations against him. And the reality is, if Bill Clinton had never put himself in a position to be around those women, then I don't know that Hillary Clinton would have been kind of saddled with that negative reputation. And if that hadn't been the case, perhaps she would have been able to find enough votes, you know, in key states to be occupying the White House right now.
What does it have to say about the, or kind of opposing views of redemption?
Yeah, this is one of the other things I find to be kind of ironic about this, and just sort of odd about the whole matter, is that on the one hand, so people could say, oh, you Christians have such a negative view of humanity, but the reality is that for Christians, we believe everyone is redeemable. So everyone's sins can be forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Everyone can be made worthy of eternal life through faith in Christ. But the kind of the interesting thing about this is that the group of folks who kind of have this view that man is inherently good and that man can kind of redeem himself by just sort of getting back on track tends to also be the group that says, well, yeah, but these people over here are irredeemable. These are the ones who there's no hope for. And for some odd reason, Mike Pence proves himself to be one of those irredeemable people by trying to avoid sin. So the fact that he doesn't want to commit the sin and doesn't want to be put himself in a position where someone could accuse him of committing the sin somehow makes him such a deviant that he deserves only scorn. There's, I think, a bit of irony in all of that.
Is it also, and with about a minute here, is it also the subject matter, which is he's not trying to avoid stealing, embezzlement, any of those kinds of things? He's trying to avoid infidelity, or even the possibility, physically speaking, of infidelity. And there's something about that subject that really irritates the secularists, the progressives.
Yeah, I think obviously this is one of the main issues, I think, where bad consciences govern people's beliefs about this. You know, the reality is that I think for a lot of folks, their understanding of fidelity is, well, I just go wherever my heart is, and if my heart changes directions and I want to commit myself physically to someone else, then I'm certainly free to do that. So I don't know that I don't even necessarily know that between Christians and secularists, or just again people who kind of have a Christian worldview of morality and those who don't. I don't know that there's necessarily a tremendous amount of common ground on the inherent value of fidelity. So I think that could quite possibly be a major issue in kind of this whole thing.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled "The Left Hates Mike Pence for Loving His Wife Because They Don't Really Think Men Can Be Evil." You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be talking with Bill McKeever on the other side of the break, talking about Mormon leaders are encouraging more baptisms for the dead. We'll find out what baptism for the dead actually is in Mormon practice and why it's considered something that's so necessary. Be right back.
The Reformation was an attempt to answer the most fundamental questions of life then, and those questions endure today.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Who is God? Who am I? Where is God found? What does God make of us? Who is Christ? What's the purpose of my life? Why does suffering happen? All those questions remain absolutely pertinent, and the answers that were given in the Reformation are absolutely relevant today.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, call 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.